Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel. Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Do. That's Russ's music intro. That's lame. Huh? I was giving the big singing. L is for the...
Yeah. That's not an earthquake in L.A. That's me with the shakes hoping to open this White Claw when you're done.
Go ahead. Let her fly. Okay, let her fly.
Ah!
There it is, folks. We're off and running again. It's time for another episode of The Suspendables with me, Jungle Jim Jerome, in Edmonton, and Russ is isolating down in Los Angeles, and we come to you another week. and another show with, who knows what we're going to talk about today, but how are you, Russ?
I'm good. Some bad news from Sherwood last night. They had to close the golf course down, so that was a bummer.
You told me when they closed it down. With all the alerts and warnings from everyone, people went bananas.
Yeah, now it's mandatory by the sheriff of Ventura County. So if you're out there, you'll get a citation.
Oh, is that right?
Serious now. It's not a board decision. It's the local authorities. So,
right.
You know, it is what it is everywhere. So,
well, your boyfriend Donald Trump. Who we know you love, and had a conference call with all the commissioners of all the major sports leagues. And what came out of that was he wanted to keep the date for the startup of the NFL in September.
Yeah.
And immediately the governor of California said, that ain't happening. Yeah, that's not going to happen. So,
wow.
We move on. We delve forward. We want to try and keep doing the podcast, which we will, to give people some relief. And last week we had our first major interview, I guess. Your son, by the way, we interviewed your son Lawton to get an idea of the life of a college hockey player, and he was great.
Oh, yeah.
He was great. Yeah.
Thanks.
You should be proud. He was
Thank
terrific.
You.
We had him on for 15 or 20 minutes on our, I guess it was our last show. And then the bonus show was Ty Gretzky.
Yeah,
that I interviewed, and I didn't flick you. You're just not that comfortable talking to other people, eh, Russ? From an interview point, huh?
No, I'm fine.
You're okay.
Okay. I'm fine. So I'm fine. You blew me off. That's all right. You cheated on me. I'm getting over it. I'm in therapy.
My favorite therapist joke: the guy went in to see his psychiatrist, and he said, "Listen, doctor, I got a huge problem. I keep thinking I'm a dog." And the doctor said, "Oh my God, okay, lie down on the couch." He said, "I'm not allowed." Let's brag a little bit. After the interview with Ty Gretzky, Janet Gretzky, Ty's mother, Wayne's wife, put up this on Instagram. I just finished listening to my son Ty on the podcast, The Suspendables, with our dear family friend Jimmy Jerome. Congratulations. It was so fun and easy to listen to. Jimmy, you're not only funny, but well-spoken and smart. Ty, I cannot say enough of how proud I am of you and the man you have become. You have made us proud and continue to, and couldn't stop smiling. We love you so very much. And, of course, Ty just got married, which was a big day.
Yeah.
What a great podcast. Congrats again to Jimmy and Russ. Keep it going and good luck. Please, everyone, stay safe during these times. There we go. There's our biggest endorsement so far. And, of course, you live in the same hood as those guys, so we know you run into them all the time, right?
Yeah, I normally see them passing by. They have a fun group of friends that they all play a game. They play a couple times a week at least, and Mike Mativi's good buddy, and Mick Cavalier, and Camacho, and it's just hilarious. They got the music going. They all have their own carts, and they all have their own caddies. They're in a posse coming through. There's usually six of them. McEnroe occasionally is in the group, but I've played in it a few times. It's fun.
Well, I often get asked, right, of course, as you probably do too, about being a friend of the great ones. And, you know, on so many levels, right? The guy as a friend and as a parent and as a husband and as a business guy, he just never makes a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, seldom makes a mistake about anything, and certainly that I can ever recall. In fact, even beyond that, he just does unbelievable things for anyone who he touches in his life, you know, who comes. And what a lot of people don't know is he is drop dead funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Like he's like you. He's like you. My favorite line ever, how fast you are, and you and I, when we get together, we just have a riot going at each other. And it usually just ends up, it's clever at the beginning, Russ, when you and I joust, and then at the end it's like, is that right?
Yeah.
Go to hell. Oh, okay.
We've run out of things. Clever out the window.
Yeah, but my favorite of yours was at the Wayne Gretzky Fantasy Camp. You were there. You were a big part of that for many years. The fantasy camp that Wayne had was, in the end, he had it for 15 years, but it was 80 guys, I think, 14 to 20.
Okay. Guys and girls. 21 and older, yeah.
Yeah, it might have been. Well, the reason it got to 21 is because some idiots, when he first had the camp, a couple of fathers who were beyond excited thought they should put their kid in there as a 15-year-old so Wayne would be able to have a look at him and maybe draft him. Do you remember? It was just like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, went goofy. Anyway, it might have got up over 100 in the end. And it's guys paid 10 grand to come and play hockey with Wayne and you and a bunch of other a bunch of other former NHLers. And it was great. It was a full-on experience, by the way, right from uniforms to all the equipment to having... trainers, you know, he had all the Oilers training staff go there. It really was over the top. But one of the deals was all the players were in one dressing room. All the NHL stars were in one dressing room, and if we could have recorded some of the shit that was said in there, Russ, it was so funny, so very funny.
Oh my God, it was brilliant.
Yeah, and right from Brett Hull.
Marty.
Jumping up when Wayne was, we're talking about Wayne's record of 92 goals, and Holly jumps in there and screams and says, you know what, I got fucking 80 goals that year. I got 80. and he said, by the way, Gretz, you got 92, and 10 of them were empty netters.
Ooh.
And in 1 second flat, Wayne said, well, don't blame me if you're not good enough to be on the ice the last 2 minutes. It's just like,
oh yeah,
it's hilarious, priceless. Hilarious fast, you know? I was on his plane one time. We were flying east from here down to Brantford for this annual charity golf tournament. And I was reading the paper. It was just him and I flying in his taxi, as you called it, the taxi. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading an article that says Wayne has 67, 8, 9, or 70-plus records in the NHL. Okay, think about that for a second. 70 fucking records. And Jaromír Jágr at the time, when there was voting for the NHL All-Star Game, and it was a record. It was an official stat in the NHL. And he got more votes than Wayne did.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't fucking wait to tell Wayne. Because he can take a barf. He can take a shot, you know. And I said, hey, Gretz, one of your records fell. And he goes, as if. I said, it did. He said, what? What record? I said, Jaromír Jágr got more votes than anybody ever in the history of the All-Star balloting and voting for it. And there's a pause, and he goes, well, why don't you get him on the line, Jimmy, and tell him he's got 71 records to go, okay? Fast. But my all-time favorite was, I guess it was Marty. That's what it was. Marty McSorley was in the room. You were there. And Marty's up there holding court, screaming and yelling about stuff and talking about how he scored on you know, which goals, you know, that he, Marty always was, you know, almost defensive, right? Marty's like, wait a minute, fuck, I got, you know, I scored on him, I scored on him, I scored on him. And yeah. Eddie Meehl was sitting there.
Oh, God, that was good.
Remember? And Eddie yeah. jumped up and said, I'll tell you what, Marty, you never scored on me. And Marty turned around in a split second and said, I never shot at the bench.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That was good.
Great. Thank you, Janet. Thank you, Janet. And we've got a Facebook page now, Russ.
Nice.
Okay. The Suspendables. You can whip on there. It might be for the time being. It might say the Suspendables Hockey Podcast, but it is the Suspendables. And we'd like you to comment and share the Suspendables anytime you're on Facebook. And we love to hear your comments, by the way, and your input and questions anytime. So we invite you to go to our new Facebook page. Okay. Called the Suspendables.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And you can engage, of course, anytime. By the way, Russ, our Facebook page is open 24/7.
Okay, it's good. Just, okay. Like some bars I used to know in Canada.
So anyway, we're off. You know, Russ, as we talk about this podcast, you and I didn't have a chance to talk or trade any info today. So this story will be out tomorrow. It's coming out today. That tomorrow, April 6th, is the two-year anniversary of the Humboldt Broncos bus crash.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the junior team. And it's one of those things that you're going to sort of remember where you were when you heard about it. Swept the world, the headlines from it. It was a bus full of the team. The team bus was heading north and got struck by a westbound semi-trailer, and 16 people perished, and there were 13 others who got injured in that thing. And it was
it's devastating. You
know, devastating. Yeah, obviously you remember it, Russ, when it mm-hmm. happened.
I used to travel those roads because I went to Notre Dame in Wilcox, Saskatchewan for 2 years when I was 14 and 16. I played hockey out there and went to school, and so I was in a bus going to games, and I can totally relate to, you know, those roads. And the Saskatchewan is as flat as a pancake, and it was, you know, just, I was more worried when I was there in the snowstorms, because we would drive and couldn't see anything.
Right.
And the bus driver would just follow the line and
crazy.
It was scary, especially after games there. You head right back home. You don't stay overnight because everything's within driving distance. So, you know, these poor kids and adults that were in the bus got struck by a gentleman that was didn't stop at the stop sign, apparently. And I guess when it went to court, he just said, I plead guilty.
Yes.
I don't know what happened, I'm sure.
Well, he got 8 years. He got 8 years in jail for it, but he thought he should have got more almost.
Wow.
You know, he was beyond contrite, you know.
Yep.
The guy went out. It was just awful. You know, just absolutely awful
for everybody
when you hear about it. But the world has stepped up, you know, and have come to the support of all the families and things. Mm-hmm. And
The donations were phenomenal, right?
Phenomenal donations. One of the guys you would have played with, Russ, too, it reminds me. You know, we're in a time of a lot of pressure, a lot of stress right now, and a lot of mm-hmm. pressure on people to step up and do things. And obviously, we're talking about COVID-19 and the virus, which you know, is
affecting the world.
Affecting the world. I got to be honest, Russ. I don't run to my phone anymore like I was about a week ago, because predictably, it's, you know, it hasn't flattened out yet, and it is what it is so far. So we all, that's why we keep doing these podcasts, you know, to provide some relief.
Well, and the other reason you don't run to your phone, you'd run into the wall after three steps.
Stop. Speaking of that, you know, that's Saskatchewan. You talk about Saskatchewan being so flat. Saskatchewan is so flat, Russ. If you stand in one spot and look far enough, you can see the back of your head. That's awful. That's a bad joke. Yeah.
If your dog runs away, you can watch it run away for 2 days.
For three. The land where no man can leap to his death, Saskatchewan.
Kelly Chase had a funny one about Saskatchewan. He did a bike ride for charity.
Yep.
And he grew up, he's a farm boy from Saskatchewan, and they rode from Regina to Saskatoon or something, and maybe PA, and I don't know what the charity was for, but he goes, anyone who tells you if Saskatchewan's flat, they're freaking lying, because I had to have somebody push me up so many hills. He goes, I was dying. I thought it was flat until you get on a bike.
Yeah, that's funny. Kelly Chaser, of course, you would have played when he was around.
Right? Yeah, I played against Chaser. Chaser is a good friend, and we actually both work for Discovery Land Co. now, and he's in... he's at the club in Troubadour in Nashville with Holly selling real estate. And
Is that Brett Hull's there too?
Yeah. And we all have property up at Gauzer Ranch in the summer. Mm-hmm. We hang out there. And I did Battle of the Blades with Chaser. And he's just a great guy and well-spoken. He does a lot of events as an MC. And he's a funny guy, man. He's really witty and really good at what he does. You know, those fighters that you had to have, not only...
Was he that tough, Russ?
He was tough. And I didn't play against him a lot, I guess. But, you know, and I wasn't a fighter. So, but the highlights I've seen of Chaser fighting, oh, my God. The guy was, for his size, he was an assassin. And if you ever get a chance, Google Kelly Chase fights are pretty epic. And he and Tony Twist, they spent a lot of time in St. Louis, protecting Holly and the boys. And anyways, he's quite something on the ice. He's witty and funny. And so my point is that if you're a fighter in the NHL, you had to be witty, because a lot of times they were on the bench talking to guys on the ice because they didn't play a lot.
Right.
And so they had to get their jabs in. And Shane Churla was one of the best. We'd call him the Rolodex, and he would just rip guys. It was so funny. The jabs. I've said this before on the show that they should have mic'd those guys back then, because, God, they had some great, great verbal. They probably had more verbal battles than they had physical battles.
And sure.
They were epic.
And they're kind of crazy, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he always said that there's no defense. He said he got more room than anybody when he would, you know, a guy would look at him, maybe mm-hmm. going to challenge him. And he said, all I would ever tell the guy, and then he was petrified, is, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care. I don't care what happens here. I don't care if I carve your eye out. Yeah. I don't care if you lose your fucking throat, you know. And but anyway, he's very funny, and he's a great dinner speaker. Hilarious. I've stole a lot of his shit. Yeah. But he was in a great movie. About being the tough guy on teams called Ice Guardians.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen all of it. I started watching, and then I got interrupted or something. But have you seen it, Russ, that movie?
No, I haven't. My son's watched it and said it's amazing, and I have not seen it, but I've heard it's great. I've heard from a lot of people that it's really, really good.
How tough it is to be a tough guy.
Yeah.
Is what that movie's
all
about.
The trials and tribulations of being a tough guy, too.
Right. Rusty, what I have for you today, by the way, good story. Oprah gave $10 million to the cause.
I love it. You know, $10 million is a shitload of money. It's great. And all these, you know, Drew Brees gave money, and you just hear more and more stories of people doing really nice things. The other day I was listening to something, and 7,000 volunteers in New York City are delivering food to people who don't want to leave their apartments.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yep.
People are really coming together and trying to help one another. I've got friends in Victoria that are in the they're in the bar business and restaurant business, and they're just trying to think of ways to keep people working, keep afloat, so that when this is over, they can open their doors and have a business. And they're coming up with all kinds of ideas, delivery of groceries and mm-hmm. meals. And everybody's just trying their best. The local in Victoria is owned by a really old good friend, Jeremy Petzing. And mm-hmm. I've followed him on Instagram. And he's got a great patio. In the summer, he kills it. But he's doing these you know, chicken wings and this and that, and you know, people are buying food for other people and just trying to help them out, you know. And I think Kirk McLean said it best, you know, all those to all the people out there who ask restaurants and bars to support their teams, now is time, you know, for sponsorship. Now is the time to support those restaurants and order in and buy people food and just trying to help those people out, because, you know, they're struggling a lot. I think we're going to see a lot of those restaurants and bars, especially independents, that may change hands after this, because, you know, who knows how long it's going to last, but it will affect them big time.
Yeah, I got a buddy here in the hood, in the neighborhood here, Glenn Yonke, and he's had a place for many years called Uncle Glenn's. It's a mm-hmm. it's a neighborhood pub. It's in a residential area, you know, a little wee strip mall, and he's a typical example of, you know, these people who just are looking blankly ahead right now, going, fuck, man.
Did you see the speech from the Queen?
I did not.
Yeah, it was great. Just
what'd she say?
You know what everybody's saying, and we're going through this, and it's worldwide, and we'll get through it, but, you know, we just have to stay in and stay safe and stay healthy. And 94 years old, and she just sounds amazing.
Yeah, she's cool, eh? Yeah. I love the Queen.
I really martini do. Every night and a glass of wine. I read that.
No.
I read that too, yeah.
That boozer. Oh, yeah. My God. You have that on your cornflakes.
No, not. Not yet.
Not yet, no. Morning drink will happen soon, yeah. Russ. Morning drink will happen soon.
There are so many funny things going around. I'm sure everybody's getting little videos and jokes and stuff. And Kelly Chase actually sent it out to this group text we're in, that everyone's sharing funny stories and pictures. Right. And
it's the best.
I sent you a few of them, but this morning he goes, "What do you recommend? What wine do you recommend with breakfast?" I know you're sober, but a lot of people are talking about, like, you know,
doesn't bother me,
5 o'clock, now it's 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, noon.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm just waiting till noon so I can open up.
I put the picture of that watch that a guy gave you, said that, you know,
Jerry Weintraub's son, Michael.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and the guy had a watch with all just number 5s everywhere.
Yeah, it was great.
It was hilarious. Speaking of good things that people are doing, when you bring that up, San Francisco Giants owner put up $700,000 to stadium workers. There's Al Horford, was a basketball player, gave up $500,000 to the Dominican Republic.
22 minutes.
Speaking of $500,000, you must be up to that by now. Shin Soo Chu is giving $1,000. He's a Major League Baseball player, superstar. I forget what team, but Texas, actually plays for the Rangers. And he's giving $1,000 to every minor league player in the organization. And that may sound like small on the surface, but understand how deep the minors are with baseball teams. You know, they go Triple A, Double A, Single A, rookie ball, all the way down. And so that's kind of interesting that he did that. Let me read something to you as I reach for my glasses here.
Before you start reading, Eric Kendricks, who you had on the show.
Yes.
Daughter's boyfriend who plays for the Minnesota Vikings. He didn't grow up with a lot of money, and he would go to school, and that was where a lot of times he would get a meal, you know, lunch. And so his charity in Minnesota is to help feed the kids. So he's taken up painting. He took an art class, and he put on Instagram, "I'm going to start selling my art. My paintings for $1,000. So I'll put up a painting. Whoever DMs me first, you put up $1,000. I'll ship you the painting, and then I'll donate $2,000 on top of that to this charity in Minnesota." Wow. And so Steve Nash bought the first or second painting. And so Steve, who's from Victoria, a good friend of ours, and lives here in LA with his family. I was texting him and saying, hey, thanks. And he goes, I love someone who has the balls to paint, an athlete who has the balls to paint. And it's a great cause that he's helping feed the kids. So I'm glad to do it. And he goes, I can't wait to hang it in my house.
Cool.
And so Eric's doing some great things too. And many, many others. So I just wanted to mention that because you interviewed him on the show too.
Right. What a great thing.
Yeah.
What a great thing. Yeah. And what a humble and gutsy thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
If you're like, could you paint?
No.
I couldn't. I'd love to put something up for auction, Russ, and I'm going, I have nothing to offer.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did mention today, there's a couple things when you brought up Victoria, because a kid I played basketball with in Sudbury was a guy named Eli Pasquale.
Best 4 years of your life.
Best 4 years of my life, 7 and 8, yeah. Eli Pasquale, who was Canada's best amateur player. You know, Steve Nash was off, and he played for the University of Victoria.
Yeah.
And he was a friend of, and he died a couple years ago. But when you bring up Steve Nash, when they started writing stuff about Eli after he died, they had an interview with him, and he talked about the influence that Steve Nash had on him, and he was a great basketball player.
You mean Steve Nash, that Eli had on Steve Nash?
Steve Nash had a great influence on Eli.
Oh wow!
Yeah, had a fantastic influence on him. And
in what way? Because he's so much younger.
I think what he probably meant was influence for other kids and influence on basketball in Canada and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And, so anyway, I knew him.
What a great team that was.
University of Victoria?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They won four. I think they won four national titles in a row. Chris Hebb was on that team too.
I should. We'll get our research guy on that. Here we go. Pasquale led the University of Victoria Vikes to five consecutive national championships.
Sorry, five, yeah.
From 1980 to 1984. Native of Sudbury. Played in two Olympic Games and led Canada to a fourth place at the Los Angeles Olympics in 1984 and sixth place in Seoul in 1988. He died last year, November of 2019. Anyway, great, great story. Great Canadian story.
Oh!
Look out.
Is that your co-host?
I've trained my dog to warn me when my ex-wife shows up. That's terrible, Russ. You can't.
Hey, how is that sleeping in the ex-wife's house?
That's cool. I'm painting everything, Russ. I am. I'm painting the whole house. I got to be honest, Russ. Okay, I've been apart 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for a sexual favor. I really am. Okay.
Oh, God. Hopefully she doesn't listen to the show.
It's not good. I mean, really.
You got a better chance of seeing God.
Okay. That's hurtful. You look at you're a skinny little prick, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not. I've lost 20 pounds. I don't know if I told you that. I started running.
Good and then for you.
Yeah, I did.
When Mess and Gretz came into the house, when they were playing golf, they whipped in the backyard and I might have poured them a couple drinks. And Gretz goes, you know, he's trying to be nice and he says, Rusty, you look great. You've lost 50 pounds. And I'm like, Mess looks at me, he goes, you lost 50 pounds. And I went, no. I think I'm down like 25 or 30. And then I'm defending and explaining and, you know, embarrassed all in one. Like, you got that big? I went, no, I was big, but not that big.
Well,
but Gretz was just trying to be nice, like, okay. And I was, oh, my God, I went about 30 shades of red.
Well, I'll tell you what.
50.
You sure turn and suck your gut in when you're around Mess. The guy's in
unbelievable shape. Yeah, he and my brother, I bet you, are in better shape now than when they played.
I know. And Chelios.
Chelios's phenomenal, too. He looks great. And works out hard all the time. Those three, I'm sure there's others that I haven't seen, but most of us retired hockey players kept eating and drinking like we were playing after we were tired. I remember seeing Bergevin at a charity event, and he goes, "What you guys? What happened? You guys stung by a bee?"
No.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
Anyways, after 20 years, I finally. It's been going on a year and a half now that I've been working out. And
well, you got a Peloton crush, don't you? That chick on Peloton.
Oh, yeah,
Allie Love. You still see her? You still dating?
Yeah, I saw her today for half an hour.
Oh, you did. Nice. Yeah. Attaboy. Anyway, you look good. Good for you.
Thanks, pal.
Brett Hull battled weight his whole life. And, you know, when he finished hockey, he's one of these unfortunate guys that fucking looks at a sandwich and gains weight. And we don't like to tease him too much. But he was, a few years back, speaking of Chris Chelios, the closing banquet was on at the fantasy camp. Chelly was one of the players. Brett Hull was there for many years. And like I say, he was in sort of the worst time of battling weight.
Mm-hmm.
And he got so big he couldn't skate anymore, and he didn't show up at the camp the next year. And we were giving him the shots, right? I was giving him the great, you know, fat jokes.
Yeah. Right?
Until Gretz said, "Okay, enough. Knock it off.
Yeah,
that's enough. Okay, we piled on." Right?
Nobody wants to hear they're fat.
Yeah, no one wants to hear. But however,
especially an ex-professional athlete.
Yeah, right. But the joke started the 1 year in camp. Like, he showed up and no one had seen him in a while, and everyone sort of looked at each other and went, "Holy fuck, is he ever fat?"
Yeah.
And then it started. So for the whole 3 days, there was no let up. When he gave him his equipment, they sewed in like a triple X tag but put it on a medium pair of hockey pants, and it was just one thing after another. And Chelly never said very much, you know. He's a low reactor. And he wasn't weighing in on this. He was laying off until the closing banquet the following year when Brett wasn't there. And everyone was asking about him. And then I was walking around with the mic to get questions, and Chelly put his hand up. And I've interviewed Chelly before, and it's tough. It's tough to get stuff out of him. But he's funny, and he's very direct. And he waved me over with the mic. And I said, "Oh, fuck, here we go."
Yeah.
And he said, "Listen, I just thought I should probably take a moment, because a lot of you have been asking about Brett Hull, and he's not here this year, and conspicuous by his absence. And I just thought I would let you know he's actually, he's back home in Dallas, and he's hooked up to a machine. A fridge."
That is brutal.
Fuck, it brought the room down. I don't know. Were you there at that one?
No, I was not. I don't know if I was, but the funniest... so every year at the Gretzky Fantasy Camp,
right,
we would have... You would host this dinner, and it usually was maybe the second to last night or something, and it was a great dinner, and campers could bring their wives or guests, whoever they brought. So a couple hundred people there, and Gretz would always have a great musician play, and so you're ripping on every guy. And the funniest thing I've seen, because he does not like to get teased, Marty McSorley had just got a new hip.
Oh, yes.
And he was walking around like limping. Like, picture yourself, like, you know, you got a bad knee or something, and you're walking without a cane, without crutches, and you're limping, and you got to walk through Vegas. And I don't think he played. He might have.
No, he coached. He could only coach.
He coached because he couldn't. He couldn't. Yeah, that's right. He coached, but he's. And so you got up on stage. You introduced each pro hockey player, because there's two of us on each team, two retired NHL guys. And so, and you go, "Marty, ladies and gentlemen, Marty McSorley, if you haven't seen him yet, unfortunately, you know, unfortunately, he did get a new hip, an operation, but he has to go back because they put it in backwards." You mimicked him walking across the stage, and if he could have, he would have got up there and hammered you. He was so pissed off.
He didn't like it.
He did not like it. But that was the funniest thing, and you walked like he was walking. Oh, and the place went nuts, because, you know, Marty goes around and talks to every person in the camp. Like, "Hey, sure. I'm Marty." You know, he's very personable and tells a million stories and wants the campers to have a great time at Gretz's event. But he was so pissed.
He gets a little edgy.
He was hot.
Well, he was fucking waddling like a duck when he showed up, right, with this new hip. Yeah. And he was bragging about it, going, "Look at this fucking new hip I got." And I remember looking out of the side going, "That doesn't look very fucking good to me, you know." But
he said in Europe, we were playing Gretzky Tour. We went during the 95 lockout. And we went over to Europe and played eight games in front of everybody.
Who put that team together? How did that work? Explain that.
Gretz. It was called 99 All-Stars.
Right.
That's what it was called. And my line was Steve Yzerman and Rick Tocchet. And we're in, and there's Mess and Holly and, you know, it's all the greats.
Sure.
So
yeah.
It was awesome. So I get out of the shower and Marty goes, hey, Quartz, or hey, Rusty. I can't remember what he calls me. He goes, I got traded for John Kordick, who passed away soon after. He died in a hotel
right.
room in Quebec, had a lot of off-ice issues. And anyways, I got traded for John Kordick. And he goes, hey, they say it's the worst trade in hockey, but Toronto said they'd still make that deal.
And this is after Kordick died.
Oh, yeah, this is after he dies, right? And I looked at Marty and I go, worst trade in hockey? I go, yeah, you were a throw-in in the Gretzky deal because somebody had to carry Gretz's bags to the airport.
Yeah, there we
and
go.
And he freaking, whoa, he didn't like it. But
it's
he
on.
And I, yeah, it was on. But anyways, Marty's a good guy.
Great guy.
Hey, I'm just thinking, you said you lost 20 pounds.
Yeah, what's this going to be now? Hang on.
That's about, God, I can you post a picture of, take your shirt off and we can see what size cup you are now? Because that's a lot. Like when you were in Hawaii a while back, man, you could have donated those bad boys.
I lost that. I lost that stomach I had.
I saw Caitlyn Jenner out today, the only person who didn't obey the no
the
golfing
golf,
rule.
The
and
no golf.
Caitlyn was out there digging for balls and, well, I shouldn't say that.
Say that again.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah. He lost and those a while ago.
Lawton was like, she has some long pole that she's digging ball. Oh, a ball retriever. So Caitlin was out there, and then finally somebody drove up and said, you didn't see the email, I guess, because you're not allowed to be out here.
Caitlin out looking. That's the funniest thing you've said. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, look. Diving for balls.
Yeah, diving
Caitlin
for balls.
Caitlin Jenner.
Okay, before we go. Okay. by the way, you can follow. What you're at Instagram? What's your handle?
Just Russ Cortnell.
At Jungle
Jerome.
And then
we got the Suspendables Instagram. I got to get a little more active on that.
And on Twitter, I'm at Jungle Jerome.
So Jimmy, back to living in your ex's house while this is all going on.
Yes, Russ. Go ahead.
Is the boyfriend living with you, or is he moved into your house?
Oh, that's funny, Russ. That's funny. fucking pool boy.
Wow.
No, I got rid of him.
So you get to sleep in her bed, she sleeps in yours. God, at least your bed is getting some action over there in the apartment. Do you have cameras?
You know what? I'm going to look at you bringing it today. Is that how this is going to be? Is it? Do you have fucking cameras? Listen, I'm a really good shot right now. I'm telling you, I would be a good shot.
did she get the cats?
She's looking after the cats.
Yeah. Oh, a lot of meowing over there.
There's a lot of meowing. There is. Okay, I was going to ask you some questions, but we're going to. Okay, you really caught me off guard here. I said, "Fuck it, this is fine." Do you know how I could bury you? Okay, do you know how I could absolutely bury you? And I've been nice. I've been fucking nice. You washed up fucking NHLer.
My wife loves the show and she loves you. So relax.
Well, I love her too. I love her too. If you could be anywhere in the world, these are questions, Russ, from people, okay? If you could be anywhere in the world right now, where would it be? Don't get corny either. Don't.
And I'm quite happy right now where I'm at. I've got my family here. Unfortunately, Eric and Allie, my daughter, are quarantined in their house, but the family's here and we're all together, so I'm quite happy where I'm at right now, and that sure would.
All right. Mine is, I don't know, with Halle Berry somewhere. That's my okay. Yeah. And I don't want to get too explicit. Okay.
Jeez. Wonder if Hallie's thinking that too.
Giving her a back rub. That's where I want to be right now.
Yeah.
You got me all fucked up.
My wife used to go up against Hallie for Paris was an actress, and
well, they kind of look alike.
Yeah,
they,
that was
not
her,
being funny. Here
the two
do.
Of them were always up for the same gigs. So Paris knows Hallie.
Was she pissed? Was she jealous of Hallie?
No, not jealous at all.
She was
not
okay
jealous
with
at all. Hey, I got one for you. I gotta read this. So you know everybody's sending this stuff from Kelly Chase. And you'll like this because you're a cat guy. He goes, fucking cat just asked me if I want the radio left on while he goes out. Prick.
I'll tell you what this isolation has done, Rusty, for a lot of people. They have made them creatively absolutely hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
The shit that's on is unreal. There's, like, if you... there's a thing called the MASH report, Russ, from Britain. And look at that thing, okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's killer funny. Anyway, there's a bunch of them. People are hilarious. Well, let's see, Rusty, before we go. Now, you can't say hockey. It's got to be something else, okay? When you were a kid, what did you want to be? That's from Julie.
I really thought I was going to become a police officer if I didn't play hockey. My brother Jeff and I used to go around the patrol cars when we played junior with the local police officers. And
what?
And
what?
So our uncles were in the RCMP, so dad worked in a mill. I thought maybe I would become a police officer, and anyways, I became a hockey player instead.
Do you ever dine and dash? Did you ever dine and dash?
No.
I did.
You
once.
Did?
Yeah, I did. Fuck, I'm embarrassed about it. But
Jesus.
You know, I am.
Maybe you should send that restaurant some money or order some food and say, I'm sorry for...
Well, this is not impressive. This is not impressive what I did. So, you know what an idiot I am, and ADD and all that stuff. So, I went to get my tag. Okay, up here you got to buy a sticker to get on your light. You got to renew your registration every year or two.
Yeah, that's kind of universal, idiot.
Yeah, it's kind of. Don't just relax there, Skipper. Okay, just calm down. Okay, so in the old days you could just go in, pay the $80, and off you go, and that's all you had to do. Well, these days, when you get parking tickets, speeding tickets, fines, okay, if you don't pay them, they got them on record now, right? So. If you go in there and you haven't paid any of your fines, they go like this, no problem, Jimmy, you owe $800 here, and then you'll get your sticker. You got to pay these fucking
fines. It's like being in Vegas on a losing streak.
That's exactly right. So, of course, every time you get these notices, photo radar up here alive and well, I've just filed it. I just thought, Russ, if you throw those in a drawer, they would go away.
Yeah, they used to. Yeah, 30 years ago.
Yeah, so... Anyway, off I go, and I know I'm going, oh, fuck, I'm going to get killed here. I bring a credit card, my bank card, checks, everything. It's going to be, I'm going to get hammered here at this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as I go in there, it's like so much money, okay? I don't even have enough, okay? It's like $1,800 that you owe. In unpaid fines.
Should have taken in an autographed jersey. Of
I should have. Fuck it.
Gretzky's autographed jersey. How about this? Can we barter?
Yeah, I'll tell you, that has got me upgraded in first class.
Oh, yeah. Tickets. You carry them around.
So here's what I did, Russ, which is terrible. I took all these tickets, and I went down to the courthouse, okay? Mm-hmm. And I went to see the Justice of the Peace. I got in there. And she said, well, you have to go to court. It's at 2:00 this afternoon with this story, Russ, is what I come up with, okay? Now, I swore affidavits on this, okay? Mm-hmm. I had to fill each one. And I said, here's what happened, Your Honor, okay? And he's like, this will be good.
Yeah.
I said, I had a brother living with me. Like, I'm making this up as I go, right? I had a brother living with me. And I lent him one of my cars. I had two cars, and I gave him a car. And he kept. And what happened? I eventually had to kick him out because he was a pain in the ass. And when I went to tear down his bed, I looked under the mattress, and there was all these unpaid fines, and they were from him using my car.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me and went, "No, he didn't." He says, "You're lying."
Yeah.
Anyway, he let me off a little bit, but it's not an impressive thing, Russ, that I did, but. Anyway, that's disappointing that I did that.
Boy.
Okay, I got another question for you. Then we go. No, we don't have to go anywhere. We're okay. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
Mm.
be hard to find one, would be my guess.
Yeah. Harry Neal did there was a skit, like a cartoon skit, where it was in the newspaper, and it was Harry Neal going...
Harry Neal, by the way, coach in the NHL, and then longtime color commentator.
Yeah. And he said Russ Cordell was so fast that, by the time the guy figured out who hit him or went by him or something, there's me sitting on the bench.
Yeah,
and this cartoon character looking around trying to find me. I mean, that was flattering.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice. And they made it into a joke, It was, I've got it somewhere. I've got it framed somewhere, and it was just a fun
I think it was Harry Neal's line, because Harry's funny.
Yeah, Harry's really funny. So Harry Neal is at the first Gretzky golf event, and it's Brett Hull, Mario Lemieux, and Wayne against Mike Weir. Thank you. Yeah. And it's in Halifax, and we're all around this table after the banquet, and everyone's telling stories, and we're just laughing our asses off. And Harry Neal goes, Thomas Gradin, we just signed him. I'm so fired up. I'm standing behind the bench. First game in Vancouver. We've got the best player out of Sweden. I'm just jacked. And the anthem, the Canadian anthem goes, we're all standing. And Thomas Gradin turns to Kurt Fraser, his line mate, and Stan Schmeel, I think, was the line. And he says, I hate that song. We always lose after that song is played. And Harry Neal goes, oh, fuck, you're going to hear it every goddamn night.
Every time I hear that song.
Every time we hear that song, we lose.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Gretz was laughing so hard because Wayne's heard so many great stories and more than anybody. I mean, and he's got more stories than anyone, but he laughed so freaking hard when he heard that. Oh,
I'll tell you another story and joke that Harry Neal told that I know every joke in the world. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's no such thing as a new joke. There are plays on it, but Harry Neal came up with one. I don't know if he did it on the spot, but here's the way the thing goes. So that event we're talking about, Rusty, there's you, and those names are actually there, right? Mario Lemieux there, Wayne Gretzky, Brett Hull, Mike Weir, you. There's a couple other guys were there too, right? I mean, this table is laced
with
stardom here, right? And I was up doing some stick, and when I came off, there were two girls at the side of the stage and standing there wide-eyed, and were looking at that circle table with all those guys, and they wanted to get over there. And they grabbed onto me when I came off the stage. And they said, will you introduce us to Mario and Wayne and those guys? I said, fucking right. Come on over. Come on
come
over,
on, girls.
Right? Two girls here. Okay. Have a seat. Pull their chairs up. And they can't even speak. They're so nervous. And Harry Neal's at the table. And they're beyond themselves. Okay. They're dry mouth. They can't say anything. They just can't believe it. And they're sitting there. And the one girl says to me, she sort of elbows me and goes, do something, tell a joke or something, tell a joke, right? And I'm going, okay. And then Harry says, I'll tell a joke, okay? And I'm going, oh, this will be good. And he's looking at them, and he says, do you want me to tell a joke, girls, the two of them? And they say, yeah, tell a joke, tell a joke. He goes, okay, listen, though, I need to change the words because there's some dirty words in this joke. And I'm going, fuck, Harry, just tell the joke, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, no, there's women. He says, so for the word... booster is going to replace the bad word for B-A-S-T-A-R, okay? It's booster. Do you got that, girls? Say the word booster. Yeah, she goes, yeah, booster. And for S-H-I-T, it's going to be shoot, okay? And, okay, so that word, and I'm just going bananas, this is stupid. Yeah. And he goes, okay, and for the big one, the Mac Daddy, the F-U, okay, and the two girls are just looking, I'm going, yeah, okay, fudge, I got it. He goes, okay, you got the words? Tell me. She goes, booster, shoot, and fudge. He goes, good. And he looks straight at the two of them. He goes, okay, how did it start? He goes, there's these two sluts. Oh, God almighty. It's so funny. I mean, that is... It's one of my favorites, Rusty. We got to go.
All right, buddy.
Russ, we made another show out of this, and it was a lot of fun. And take care, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week. You've been listening to Jungle Jim Jerome and Russ Cordell on The Suspendables.
The Suspendables is a weekly hockey series with Jim Jerome in Edmonton and Russ Cortinel in L.A. A new episode every Tuesday morning on Wooshka, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow The Suspendables on Facebook and Twitter. Reach us at thesuspendables@yahoo.com. And of course, we appreciate you sharing this podcast with your group of friends.